This is Transit Unplugged. I'm Paul Comfort. And on today's episode, it's a special on-scene edition where we head again out to the location of a transit authority and talk to their leaders. On this one, I head to Kansas City, Missouri, and speak with Frank White III. Frank is president and CEO of the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority, or KCATA. I met him at his headquarters in Kansas City, and we were able to talk to his staff, and I interviewed him actually in front of his senior team, talked to him about the agency, its history, his background. Then we went outside and got on board their Bus Rapid Transit line, or the BRT Max line, where he tells me more about the service. You'll hear the bus in the background, and it's just one of those great opportunities to experience firsthand in person what's happening at a major transit system here in the United States. Frank is considered a leader in the industry, and you'll know why when you hear him on this episode of Transit Unplugged. Now let's join him in front of his staff as we laugh and joke to get the thing started. Hey, this is Paul Comfort. I am live at the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority's main conference room with all of Frank White's staff. Great to be here with you all today. So Frank and I just had an opportunity to share some of the hot transit trends happening in the industry. And actually, I wanted to talk to Frank about one of the hot trends happening here. So Frank, thanks for having us in.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah. We're also filming an episode of our TV show while we're here. And last night, Frank took me out for some great jazz music here in Kansas City at the Blue Room.
Yes, we did.
That was great.
Great music. Great cocktails.
Yeah, it was great. And your chief of staff's husband played piano all day. It was amazing.
Yeah, Terry just walked in right
there. Terry. He was great, man. That was awesome. So, Frank, tell us a little bit about yourself and your agency.
I have been here 8 years with the KCATA. I came in as the director of marketing, as what brought me here. Did that for a couple of years, won a few awards, and then I got demoted, actually.
That's what happens, right?
Yeah. I got demoted, even though it was said it was a promotion, but I didn't care because I was still getting paid the same. And so it made no difference to me. But I got put into what we call business outreach, so to speak, really trying to go put us in space we hadn't been before. We're more in the private sector, really did a lot of time with the chambers, rotaries, different things like that. It was government relations, but I didn't really call it government relations at that time. Did that for a year, really got some headway with like in Jeff City, our state capital here. Really been those relationships and different audiences related to my workforce development, economic development. Then after that, got put over to transit development. We were tasked, myself and Brian Starner, were tasked to go build actually a separate company to focus on TOD called Ryukyu Development Corporation. We did that for 4 years. And then shortly after that, the board decided to make a change in leadership. I was appointed the interim CEO August 8th, 2022. And then in January 2023, was appointed the permanent CEO at that time.
And what are some of the most important projects you're working on right now here at KCATA?
You know, the biggest thing is, you know, I'm a big Tony Robbins guy. And
it's great.
He always says, be brilliant at the basics. And so my view when I first got in was service delivery. That was something, end of the day, we're paid to move people. And where we position from operators to resources to staff to vehicle equipment to really fulfill that mission first. Because if you take care of that piece first, you can do everyone after that. But if you don't, it's like an upside down tree. There's no stability, there's no roots to that. So that was the first piece. The second piece was the financial piece. You know, again, we got public money, so there's a higher fiduciary standard that we got to adhere to. And so if you're going to ask for more stuff, you got to have earned the right to ask. So that was really the big push. And I think as a staff, these guys are doing a great job. We're above pre-pandemic ridership. We're able to get operators in there. And so you've seen our service delivery exceed the pre-pandemic averages. And so I think on that piece, we've done that job. We've covered all those things like that. So now we're like, okay, how can we do more things? So our biggest piece now is how do we grow our agencies? We're a bi-state agency, 7 counties, 2 states, but how do we grow it? Unfortunately, I would say the ATA was brilliantly designed in 1966, but poorly executed. And that we were always more than a bus company, but for whatever reason, we were content to be a bus company instead of being a transportation authority. And so what we tried to do in the last year and a half is really say, how do we become, I think Tyler calls it the regional chamber of transportation, like routine, like chamber, regional chamber of commerce, but on transit side where we can kind of, facilitate, convene, really be that leader in transportation, our region. So that's really kind of the big picture. But as far as the big projects, we got the route restoration project we're trying to work on, really trying to figure out how do we create our own funding, right? That is the independent funding, as independent as you can be, and really try to focus on while we do the buses, that we are a transportation authority, the regional planning piece, where we're basically the go-to for transit in this region. and ideally, I mean, it's possible, but really become truly independent from all the foolishness. It never goes away, but how can I make sure how we manage our business in a way that it's on us and people have to kind of bend to our will, so to speak.
That's good. Interesting. So we're in the spring of 2024. What are your ridership and revenue trends like right now?
Well, ridership wise, we're 105%, Tyler, over 2019.
That's awesome, right? Yeah.
Revenue trends is interesting because we don't create our own revenue.
Right. You don't have fares.
Right.
Yeah. So what's that about? No, just kidding.
No, we can go there if you want to. I have no problem with that. It's again, you talk about revenues, you know, all we have is a fare box, which we don't have anymore. So this is kind of our challenge is because we don't control our funding. Those relationships matter with your elected officials, your political officials to say, okay, what's the value? What do we bring? Why would you want to partner with us? To that end, the revenue trends aren't good because we don't control the revenue.
Right.
We talk about the fiscal cliff.
Yeah. And at the time when it happened, a lot of agencies, well, you all were one of the first in the country, but then a lot of agencies went fare free over the pandemic. But now I think fiscal realities are starting to settle in as all these federal dollars, billions of dollars, unprecedented, were dumped into the transit industry over three tranches of funding, mm-hmm. starting with the CARES Act and then the CRISA Act and then the ARPA Act. But most agencies in this year, 2024, fiscal year 25, mm-hmm. that money's going to come to an end.
Yes.
And in a sense, they've been subsidizing transit across the country at a higher level. I've done it in Canada too, by the way, Frank. Mm-hmm. They put in money as long as the provinces, which are like their states, were also putting money in. But that's all going away now, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to, you know, Tyler mentioned earlier in your presentation, my background is not public, it's private. I was a sales guy, owned a business. And so the numbers have to number out, right? And I'm sitting there going from the sideline going, this is bad business because this isn't sustainable. How do you make this work? And if we were going to go down that path, the conversation should have been had with the jurisdiction, like, this is going to end one day and manage it better. We did not. I call it COVID crack. Money is what it was. It makes you lose your mind.
You got addicted to it.
And so now we're seeing that come to an end and you're telling, just got to tell the truth. You don't like it doesn't mean I'm wrong. And so we're seeing with all the jurisdiction, not just here, but nationally, people are really starting to push back going, how are you going to close your gap? I'm like, it ain't my gap. It's yours. Because I don't create my own revenue. That's your problem to solve, not mine. And quite frankly, I could care less. You don't want to pay for it? Okay, fine. But don't put that on us. And I think in transit in general, we default to being the whipping post for some reason. I don't understand why. You know, we go with hat in hand and say, please don't hurt me. When I'm like, we bring a value that if we weren't here, you couldn't get done what you needed to get done. And you might want to show some respect to what we do. And that's kind of my approach. You know, you call it speaking freely, but I'm going to defend us and what we do because I know who works every day and how hard we work. I know it's a tough industry to work in. You don't get to diminish it because you don't understand. And so that's the approach I take on it because I know more than you know most of the time in these meetings. I'm going to let you know I know more than you. And I know what you do and know what I do because I got to know what you do to know how to serve you better. So now that might irritate people, but I really don't care because again, I'm responsible for this agency and everybody in this room, and I'm not going to sit here and let them down by not being ready to be prepared to defend what we have to do. And we've had plenty of meetings with city council this week and explained what's going on. And I said the same thing you said, Christ didn't cost, didn't go up. Your subsidy's going away. And we've told you it was going away. And you kept saying, well, how are you going to close it? Not my problem. It's yours. And we're going to make sure if they choose not to do it, we're going to let the world know that they chose not to do it. Not on us.
And the vision you have of really turning this agency, turning on the power, so to speak, of the authority.
Yes.
That's your big vision. What's the biggest challenge and how can your staff and your team help you with those challenges?
There's multiple challenges, but the biggest one is for 51 years, we didn't act like the authority. So when people see you as one way and you tried to come out of that box, they want to keep you in that box. They want to diminish you to keep you back into being this boss, right? And stay in your lane, so to speak. And we're saying no, because we didn't step into that space, other people did. And they've invested in not wanting us to be in that space. There's other regional entities, there's other organizations that are doing what we do because we let them do it. And we're trying to say, no, we're going to do that now. And rightfully so, they're going to push back. I expect them to push back. But, you know, what they say, to make an olive, got to break an egg, right?
Yep.
So I think we were designed to play in that space. And so the big challenge is one, that perception, right? Two is making sure you're in the right rooms when those discussions are being had. Because I also see a lot of people talk about us without us. And transit, and like we got the World Cup, coming.
That's right.
And they said transit was a problem and no one ever talked to the ATA. So they got a whole World Cup games with no one ever talked to the ATA. We had to force our way into the World Cup transit discussion. And literally I was on a interview on a radio and I said, well, they ain't talking to us. We're going to do it ourselves. And then my phone rings. And I was like, you can't say that. I said, well, I already did. What are you going to do about it? You know, but we had to be at the table to have that discussion because we've got the tools, right? We're the federal designee for transit funding in this region. We got all these things. We just have never shown the leadership nor desire to put the work in because our board in 2013, when it went to the whole Ride KC brand, that was the goal, to be a regional entity, to create your own regional funding, to be the authority in this thing. And we never did it. I don't know why I wasn't here when it happened, but we didn't do it. And now this team here is trying to, or is not trying, we are doing it actually. We've got it. We're in a position now where relationship-wise, opportunity-wise, we're in the best we ever could have been to go make that case for the regional transit, regional authority. There's still some humps, but you know, that's okay.
All right, last question. We'll end on a positive. What's one of the best things or coolest things happening right now at your agency?
Oh man. Well, you're here. No, I mean, we're getting it done. I mean, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. You know, I looked at Brian Beck, right? And I'm amazed he's still awake because with the ransomware attack, you know,
right?
He and his staff, I mean, they did yeoman's work.
Congratulations, by the way, getting out of that.
No, I mean, so you look at that, you see all these people, you know, Marlo, what she's doing in facilities, Don over transportation, June, probably got the hardest job in HR, Terry's chief of staff, corralling me, you know, that's a challenge. I probably wear Cindy out, just all the questions about marketing and stuff. And I just beat Bruce to death. And so, you know, it's just watching people. I like watching people do what they do best, right? My thing is to be very decentralized and say, you go do you. What do you need from me? And I'll go do my thing. Because if I got to do your job, then what I need you for? So we're doing a great job, like I said, with Todd's, the route stuff. Chuck's out there pushing hard to get these buses out. Richard over here on the microtransit stuff. And I did not forget you, Michael Riley, because, you know, on the TOD piece, and Bryce is our merging leaders. He's our secret weapon. And so he's also our driver today. That's kind of cool.
Thank you.
So we got these great people, and Janet keeps me focused. So everybody.
So your team is probably the best thing happening.
It's the best thing. We talked about Centos. I said, leadership's not about you. It's about your people. And when I came in, the morale was poor. We'd all be kind of PTSD, so to speak. And the biggest thing is getting people to realize that we are good at what we do. We're not bad at what we do.
Absolutely. You guys are leaders.
I mean, we've got award-winning people in this room, national award-winning people in this room. And they were given a lane to go do what they do. And so the metrics, by all accounts, we're better than we were a year and a half ago. And I think the best is yet to come.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. Frank, tell us about your agency, the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority.
Yeah, the KCHA is a bi-state authority created in 1966 with the Act of Congress. We cover 7 counties and 2 states. We can cross jurisdictions, so that allows us to kind of be a regional transportation program. We also manage the region under the Ride KC brand back here. So all of our buses throughout the 7 counties, I'll say Ride KC for a seamless system. We got 620 employees in our agency. We have local bus service, bus rapid transit. We have 3 max lines. We also have paratransit. We have microtransit. We also have the streetcar that runs the Ride KC brand. While we don't necessarily run the streetcar, we work very closely with Tom and his team on a host of different issues. And we have like a flex service as well in our system as well. So that's pretty much our agency in a broad nutshell. We also have a broad range of economic development tools that we do use. We do a lot of TOD work.
Oh, tell me a little about that.
Yeah, part of the compact, it also had us, we can do conduit bond financing, sales tax exemptions on construction materials. We also have eminent domain capacity and land management usage. So if you understand, you know transit well enough, really it's about land management. And so the real thing is Kansas City, Missouri, the city is kind of built for transit. We had over 300 different transit agencies before in 1950, before the Highway Acts came out. And so we got to see this really built for the density for transit. So we try to take our transit corridors, our max lines, and really try to do land assemblage and build housing, doing development work, contract work, which you'll see later today, as well as it creates revenue for us as well, but also brings that density in, brings those riders. So we're kind of gaming the riding system to get those folks to be on our system. We found that in Kansas City, Missouri proper, 42% of people's income is on housing and transit. So we can kind of whack that transit piece in half. We can really do a good thing. We have our 4 pillars of access, Paul, which is access to education, employment, healthcare, and housing. With transit fulcrum, TOD satisfies all those different things. And also, as I mentioned earlier when I was talking to you, it allows us to try to get that sort of independence as an agency to kind of create our own fate and our own destiny as well.
You were one of the first agencies in America to kind of merge paratransit and microtransit in your Ride KC Freedom program.
Yes.
Tell us a little about that and how that's going now.
It's funny. It started with a program called Bridge. I don't know if you remember Bridge about 2016. That was like our first foray into microtransit. And Tyler Means was really kind of the guy on that. We kind of learned some stuff from Bridge, and we put Bridge and Paratransit together. One, it reduces costs, but also is a more efficient way to help people have a better experience from the ADA side and paratransit side, as well as just the overall, what I call the customer experience. And so it's been very, very successful for us. We have Iris now as well. That's non-paratransit ADA focused, but Roxy is something that's always going to make us unique, and we're probably planning to keep that for a long time.
Where are you taking the agency, Frank? What is next for you?
What I'm trying to do is really look at transit differently. I think I said this 7 years ago at an APTA marketing conference. I felt that public transit would be saved by non-transit people.
All right, Frank, we're on your MAX BRT line, Bus Rapid Transit in downtown Kansas City. Tell us about BRT.
Steve, for those who know us, Bus Rapid Transit, sometimes we kind of walk in our transit talk. Yeah. Basically, what makes BRT unique is it's basically what I call light rail on wheels. Predictable scheduling between 10 to 15 minute headways, because of our premium service, Wi-Fi, all those different things, different colors. We've got three MAX lines here in KC. We are right now in the Truce MAX. We also have the Main Street MAX. This is our first MAX line, brought here in 2005. This line started in 2011, and our Prospect MAX started in 2019. So the cool thing about our MAX lines is, as you can see here, with that deep felt investment, it's also been catalytic for economic development on our corridors.
Yeah. So Bus Rapid Transit is almost like a train, and then it comes. Like, how often do your buses come? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the schedule is about every 15 minutes.
Okay.
So you don't need to have a app, a schedule. We have actually better stops. You can see here, these are nicer stops. All this stuff here is new development that's being redone because of this investment.
Really?
And the MAX line by the ATA.
So it's transit-oriented development in a sense, isn't
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Because of that predictability. People know, like I said to you before, good bus routes don't get moved. So the people sometimes say rail's better because it's stable, but a good bus route like this one, it's north-south, it goes 10 miles.
Okay.
It's just all it's done is spur more development. As you know, since we go further down, the stuff that's going up, we'll hit probably 35th Street here, Armour Boulevard, and you're going to see an amazing spur of growth because of this MAX line.
And so your BRT lines are, in a sense, your trunk lines of the system?
Yeah, they're our top three routes.
Okay.
Are our BRT lines.
And then do your other bus routes kind of tie into it?
Yes, they feed into it. We're looking now to want to take some of these MAX lines, create new BRT lines going east-west. We're solid north-south. We want to start bringing that east-west piece. We look at east of Truce here. That's traditionally been historically African-American neighborhoods. Truce kind of dividing line historically.
Yes.
So we want to use the BRT and transit kind of break down that wall, right? That access piece going central KC and then to the west side. So it's also a great equalizer for us.
Prior to being CEO here, you were the head of TOD, Transit Rail Development for the agency. Tell us about TOD a little bit and the one we went out to.
Our pipe powers gives a lot of stuff for economic development. We can do land assemblage, sales tax exemptions, in the domain capacity and land management use. And so what we try to do is say, well, we might necessarily be the actual developer. We can be catalyst for development. We can stabilize places where capital would normally not flow.
Okay.
Because we're quasi-federal, there's a certain permanence that we get involved. It's kind of de-risking development for developers. So we were tasked, myself and a guy named Brian Stoner, to create this company separate from the KCATA, which we did. And we've probably done 7 projects, over $500 million worth of projects. You can see some of these bookings here are all a part of stuff that we worked on these projects here. There's a local hospital on Main Street called Lutheran Hospital, been closed for 25 years. No one would touch it.
Okay.
Just the privacy is too risky. We partnered with a company called North Point and said, okay, use a conduit bond process through us, and we can give you certain benefits, guarantees, federal projects, federal dollars that will de-risk it for themselves instead of using all private money. But by doing so, we created a new facility that has mixed income housing tied into the Wilker Junior College. Also, for the people that have been there that hadn't maybe been old, they're now being able to own the condominium. So it's a project that Brent Miles would tell you wouldn't have touched if you hadn't known I was on. But because we got involved, we were able to share the risk. It's really a perfect P3. And so they'll fill the application out. We'll see if it qualifies. And everything is based on is a transit focus.
Okay.
Is transit going to be by? This is going to be on the streetcar line. And the better transit elements it has, the lower their fees are. So they get a benefit for doing more TOD. So they do an application fee. And then the committee takes a look at it. And then it goes to our board for what we call a first read.
Okay.
And if the board approves it, then we do about a second read and that bond gets issued. So it all has certain things that are all geared towards transit. And this right here, if this is our building too, this was our daycare center. Metro Daycare Center.
A daycare center?
It was. We're looking to, the last tenant actually, unfortunately, had to leave because they couldn't get staff. The daycare center. Well, right now, we got it on an RFI out for it right now. Okay. But it's a great facility. It's built with federal dollars. And that's Mike Riley's problem now to figure out what to do with it. So that's how our TLD works. Sometimes we may own the land. Sometimes we don't own the land. I like us to get more where we own the land ourselves and do more joint ventures. One, it gives us a way to create revenue for ourselves.
Yes.
So that's the biggest issue, creating that independent stream of revenue that most entities desperately need. But also we're creating density in a city that's built for density, which gives us more riders.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's really like we want more riders. And so how do we do it? We bring more density, we get more housing. And the fact is, in Kansas City, Missouri, where we are right now, over 42% of people's income goes in housing and transit. So we can find a way to reduce that transit cost, bring more money back into their household. It also makes the economy spur just on that level as well.
And our interview continued. We videotaped a lot of this interview as well as many more things with his team and some of the city culture and discussion with his father, Frank White Jr., the famous Kansas City Royals baseball player, Golden Glove winner. We also got to share some great barbecue and jazz music. You'll get to see it all on our April episode of Transit Unplugged TV, that this podcast and next week's podcast with Tom Garand, who is the executive director of the Kansas City Streetcar. We gave an interview with him as well, and we show you some of the streetcar and the Great Union Station there as well in this compilation series of a couple podcasts matched with our TV show. Know you'll enjoy this great conversation with great leaders in the Kansas City area.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Transit Unplugged with our special guest, Frank White III, telling us all about KCATA. Now, as Paul said in his closing, we stay in Kansas City for next week with Tom Garand of KC Streetcar. You're going to listen to Paul go through historic Union Station and then take a ride on the streetcar to a cafe that wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the streetcar. And this month, you get to see it all on Transit Unplugged TV on YouTube. Make sure you check it out and subscribe so you don't miss when the episode drops. Hey, did you know at transitunplugged.com, where you can find everything you need to get in touch with us, follow us on social media, or subscribe to the newsletter? Just head on over and click the buttons and you'll be connected. Transit Unplugged is brought to you by Medaxo. At Medaxo, we're passionate about moving the world's people. And at Transit Unplugged, we're passionate about telling those stories. So until next week, ride safe and ride happy.